You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
But somebody's getting something back that probably shouldn't have been taken away in the first place. We'll talk about it in about 20 minutes when we go off the board here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Chris Mack and Joe Ostrowski with you. Plenty of NBA to talk about today. Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA Insider, going to join us at 11 a.m. Eastern. You can join us live every single day, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, in your Odyssey app, AUDACY. It's free. Download it today and then take us with you. You're at the gym, you're at work, you're at home, you're in the car, on the road, whatever. You have BetQL Daily with you both live and on demand as a podcast. Just download BetQL Daily wherever you get your podcast. Chris Russell of Team 980 in Washington going to join us an hour from now to answer the question, is it definitely Jaden Daniels at number two to Washington? No, like definitely Jaden Daniels number two to Washington at top of the hour. We power rank some of our favorite draft cliches as we have fun. Less than 35 hours to go until the NFL draft, which means Benjamin Robinson is about as busy as it gets, grinding the mocks. Find him on Twitter, at Grinding Mocks, and at Benj_Robinson as well. We appreciate the time again this morning, Ben. I know you just released another data dump, maybe 10, 15 minutes ago, that shows some of the biggest risers and fallers based on the latest round of mock drafts in the last 24 hours or so. What's standing out to you the most about the data in these mock drafts in the last day or two?
So, yeah, thanks again for having me. The mock draft data right now is being weighted a lot higher than my mocks that I've been collecting even over the past week. So what we're seeing now is having the largest influence over my numbers. And so, you know, the biggest fallers are mostly players kind of in the second round area, although we did see Bo Nix, the quarterback from Oregon, inch up a little bit still in the first round. I still believe he'll go in the second round, so that's a little disappointing for me. But then we do see some kind of more intrigue in terms of bigger name players in the fallers, continuing to see Jaden Daniels kind of fall slightly from like expected draft position, kind of where on average I see him in my mocks at about 2.2 to 2.5. which doesn't seem like a lot, but there's been a lot of talk lately that he seems to be kind of like negging the Commanders a little bit to not take him because he hasn't not as much interest in playing for Washington, and he'd rather play for Las Vegas or for Minnesota. So that's interesting. You're also seeing a guy like Troy Faltanu, the offensive tackle from Washington, fall a little bit. There's been news coming out that he has like a little bit of an injury that could be an issue. And then I think, you know, the other one that's kind of interesting is this guy, Marshawn Nyland, who was one of my biggest risers over the last month in the draft process, kind of falling a little bit, which actually to me is kind of an interesting kind of portend because I think he really has a decent chance of being a first round pick. Every year there's like one guy who's kind of a real outsider, like in the second half of the second round of my projections, who ends up being in the first round. And I have a decent belief that it might be him. And then there's also Rome Odunze, who's a faller from the other wide receiver from Washington. I don't think he actually is going to fall. I think people are just struggling to find a slot for him.
Really interesting. So as far as the time, you said how you weight some of these mocks coming out right now heavily now. So we're at the day before. Can you talk about over the years the difference you see in the mocks that are released week of, day before, final 80.0 mock that people are going to be releasing tomorrow so they can get as many web hits as they possibly can. Can you talk about that difference versus, you know, months and months of this and the accuracy? Is there that big gap?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so it's kind of interesting. The draft community is pretty good at hitting on average about like 26, 27 of the top 32 picks in the first round, if we're just really interested in first round accuracy. And mm-hmm. so I'd say that over this week, the public goes from the grinding the mocks public goes from hitting at about like 24, 25 guys to like 26, 27. So there's a slight shift. The second round comes into a lot more focus as we figure out who doesn't get into the first round. But over this week, it's really kind of a reshuffling of the deck, but the cards a little bit, but not as much because there usually isn't a lot of breaking news. People are kind of finalizing their evaluations. There's a slight chance for like some late breaking news. But the most important thing is that we just have the most information richness in the market in terms of just what the teams are thinking about. So it kind of is a process building up the draft boards over the course of the year. You know, about a month ago, you know, we had just finished the combine, we just had free agency, and those things kind of come into focus. People were still kind of doing what if this scenario happens in this mock, or, you know, what if this team decided to do X? And now it's kind of coming more into focus. People are being more serious. Instead of building scenarios, they're building their actual idea of what might happen.
Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mocks with us now, less than 35 hours until the NFL draft starts in Detroit. I want to go back to the quarterback thing that you brought up and the rise you're seeing in the data of all of these mocks that you're looking at in Bo Nix's average position, but still being of the mind that he doesn't come off the board, he and maybe Michael Penix Jr. as well, until early second round. That is a big, I see so much play in this market in particular, total number of quarterbacks in the first round over the last week, especially. I know some of us have sided on the under because, well, to be quite honest, there's more value there. It's better than even money, depending where you find it, and heavily juiced to the over. Is it juiced to the over in your opinion, maybe because of the data that we're seeing that, you know, you're seeing in some of the work that you're doing that shows Nix rising almost four spots in the latest set of mocks, as opposed to the anecdotal stuff that continues to tell us, no, early second for Nix and Penix.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, we should expect the quarterbacks to not be all very, very high on the boards. And so there's often, you know, a little bit of a surplus, you know, given like a subsidy given to the quarterbacks based on where they fall on these big boards because they play the most important position in the game. You know, the public just tends to overstate how willing these teams are to just go and bite the bullet. I mean, you saw, you know, just earlier this week, you know, the Broncos going and getting Zach Wilson, I think, just to be an insurance policy so that they don't feel like they have to force a quarterback at pick 12 if they can't move out of that pick, which I think the Broncos should do. But yeah, history tells us that we just tend to overrate the kind of willingness of teams to take, you know, any and every quarterback that there is. And so, you know, last year, people were really rushing up Hendon Hooker. There's just usually a poster child every year. I just think that this year it's two, you know, Penix and Nix have somewhat similar-ish profiles minus the injury. You know, both experienced, both successful in college, both playing with a really great supporting cast around them at good programs on the Pac-12. And so I've heard more buzz about people saying Penix should be in there, but these were the same people who were, you know, pushing up Will Levis and Hendon Hooker last year. And so to me, I've always said four historically in the first round is a lot. And so if there is five, I would be slightly surprised. But six just seems like way too many, given that, you know, Penix and Nix are older, have these histories, and are more second-round players in the big boards.
Benjamin, let's talk about wide receivers. So we've talked about this in the past. In one of our previous conversations, you said it's tough, but you would probably go over 6.5 wide receivers. Now, that is the heavy favorite is on the under at 6.5. Obviously, you've got the big three, and then you get into questions after that. Boy, over 6.5, that would pay 3-1. Do you still think we can get to 7 in the first round, or some of the news on injuries and all that, rumors out there, mocks available, would you go under?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to kind of lead on the under a little bit. I think 6 is like right where it's at. You know, Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, Thomas are the clear four. I still think Xavier Worthy will go higher than where he's mocked in my data right now. I think that he's a strong first rounder. Adonai Mitchell, I think, also is a first rounder. And then after that, you have to question yourself, is it, you know, Ladd McConkie or Xavier Leggett, Troy Franklin, Keon Coleman? And I don't know about them as much, but I feel really good about Xavier Worthy. I feel semi-good about McConkie. If I had to pick one, I would pick him. But to me, yeah, I think 6 is like kind of the line. I would think that it's kind of going to be at 6. I still think we're going to have, you know, more offensive linemen than, we think in the first round. I think like right now I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9 in the first round. There'll probably be more than that. I'm seeing kind of some of the defensive linemen come up a little bit too, especially if you have Neyland. I think, you know,
yes,
the cornerback situation is still there. So I think that it's a little dicey to go over 6, but I mean, I think it's worth a shot.
So here's what's interesting to me, and I don't know how much, with all the data you're gathering, if you're getting a chance to parse it out to this level, Benjamin. Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mocks with us here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, at Grinding Mocks on X, to get the latest in the data that he is compiling and putting out there, at Benj_Robinson as well. It seems to me that we could be at, say, 6 wide receivers and 9 offensive linemen, and we're all going to want to go to bed tomorrow night because it's going to be late first round. It's going to be getting close to midnight, if not already beyond midnight. And here come the Chiefs. And the Chiefs at 32 could go either way. I don't want to say a coin flip, but it really is. They go wide receiver. The Rashee Rice news over the last month or so could push them in that direction. Well, not just that, but given the fact that half their wide receivers had trouble, you know, actually receiving the football last year. And offensive line could be another one as they're constantly trying to upgrade around Patrick Mahomes. So when you're looking at your mocks as you're compiling them right now, what do they have Kansas City doing more often, wide receiver or offensive line?
I think you see wide receiver more often. I think we've seen that in last year's cycle two and probably the year before as well. I think ever since Tyreek Hill, people have thought that they should invest a first-round pick at wideout. The thing about it is just that there hasn't been a class as strong with wide receivers as we have this year. You know, the class a couple years ago, I think a lot of people were steaming Jahan Dotson to them, but then the wide receivers went, you know, fast and furious, and they kind of fell out. So I think wide receiver is in a strong position. I think that's where, if I would look at my numbers, I think I would guess that they are leaning the most. But I still think, and I've thought pretty much ever since the combine, that they just seem to like the strategy of swinging the, you know, rolling the dice on more guys. And so they'll probably end up taking maybe one or two receivers in this draft, just probably later. I think their need at tackle is stronger. The guy that I see them looking at strongly is Kingsley Suamataia, the offensive tackle from BYU. Last year, they kind of went a little off the board with Felix Anudike Uzama, edge rusher from Kansas State. I mean, the other position I think that could be a surprise to people, because it's kind of on the third of the positions to look at, is cornerback. But I think that's also a position that they've historically addressed in the later part of the draft. So to me, offensive line, I feel pretty good about Kingsley Suamataia. I think also you could look at a guy like Jordan Morgan. Those are the two guys that, unless there's some sort of offensive lineman that falls that's unexpected that they could get there, I think those are the guys that I would look at for them on offensive line. And then at receiver, a lot of the Texas guys and some McConkey, but I don't think they go that way.
So something bettors can do is you can do a parlay where you're picking in exact order the top three, top four. And so we had Connor Allen on the show yesterday, and his take was it's going to be the first four are going to be quarterbacks, but McCarthy's going to go too. And he's like, I'm on an island here. But, you know, he was playing stuff like that because you can get some really good odds. Where do you think things get crazy? Is there going to be something unexpected that happens in the top four?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of people who I respect in the draft community talk about J.J. McCarthy at two. I'm just not seeing any of it in my data. If I start to see that in my data today, I'd think about it. You know, when I look back at the analog draft of this draft, it's the 2021 draft where you had Trevor Lawrence at the top. You had Zach Wilson at two. And then sort of if you could pick the next two picks, then you were in a really good spot. And, you know, in the fourth slot, they had Kyle Pitts that year. And so I think this top of this draft, the top four, kind of reminds me a little bit of that draft. And so right now, my top four is Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Marvin Harrison. And I think that you can be pretty good about Williams and Harrison. And I think that the question right now, is it going to be Daniels May or May Daniels? A lot of people who I talk to and I think are really well sourced believe it's Daniels, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Mac Jones bit. But Mac Jones, they at least there was some pull in the data where he wasn't really my third overall player. He was like somewhere a little bit below that. And so I'm still waiting for these late breaking mocks to come in and see where McCarthy lies. I just don't see it, just because Lance at that point in that draft, he's the analogy to McCarthy. You know, he was much further down the board, but he was the next guy. But that's because there was like the quarterback three, or is he going to be the quarterback four? Right now, it's the question of, is he going to be the quarterback four, or the quarterback two? It usually doesn't roll that way. Usually the QB four goes down further. So I think, yep, you know, he's maybe out of the top five, McCarthy, if I had to guess right now. I just don't see it in my data yet. I need to see something change in that in order to come off that stance.
We'll keep an eye on all the data that you're pushing out there at Grinding Mocks on X, as well as at Benj_Robinson. Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mocks, we appreciate it as always, man. Good luck this weekend. And of course, I know Sunday morning you'll probably wake up and be on to next year's mock drafts as well. We will power rank some of our favorite parts of the draft. The draft cliches at the top of the hour. Oh, yeah. All of the typical ones, plus we go off the board, somebody getting something back that they had to forfeit years ago and they probably shouldn't have in the first place. That's next on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.